This is the Ryder and Lisa replay.
Brought to you by Southtown Hyundai. Check out the Southtown Hyundai Advantage at southtownhyundai.ca.
Originally, I was going to go with underrated, doing things that are absolutely free because everything else costs money. But then Damien wrote in this morning around 6 a.m. saying, can I get a shout out for getting up at 5:30 to go work out? I miss that so much. So underrated, getting up early and eating your frogs, which is a way of saying like doing the things that you don't want to do, getting them over with so you can just relax for the rest of the day. Like I miss getting up. I used to do a boot camp. And it was a 5 a.m. boot camp. And I loved it because I'd get home from it and I'd go back to bed. And then I'd wake up for work and I'd be done.
And you'd feel good about yourself, yeah.
Oh, it was over.
That vibe you get while you're walking out of the gym after a good workout, too. What a great way to launch the rest of the day. Like, if you're not just going to go back to bed. If you're going to use that vibe to go crush the world. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Waking up and working out, that's underrated. I'm going to go with the fact that we have the ability to exercise our right to vote and can feel safe and comfortable with it. Like you look at the last federal election in the States and like the hoops some people had to jump through to go and vote. And I'm just so thankful that it's so much
more
fair and simple here to get it done. Like it's almost too easy. You're like, wow, that's it.
I was in there for 2 minutes.
Yeah. So I just think that like the whole concept around us getting to exercise our right, the fact that we live in a democratic country, that we choose our government and that it's actually quite simple to get it done. All of those things are combined to be totally underrated.
And we can kind of circle back to my point of eating your frogs. I'm already done. Like I went to the advanced polls, so yeah. That feels good too. I'm like, I'm done. I don't have to do that today.
Quit bragging about it. You had your first close encounter with a coyote.
Yes, closest ever so far.
As of yesterday. So you were just walking some trails with Gordy, my dog. And
it was interesting because they're quiet. You do not hear them sneaking up behind you. And luckily with Gordy, because he's a hound dog, he likes to sniff and stop at every single tree. So while he's doing that and sniffing, I get bored and I start looking around. Whereas if I was just casually walking by myself, I wouldn't have turned around at all.
You might not have even seen it.
No.
Right.
And so while he was sniffing a tree, and Gordy's clueless, which is so funny because as I'm saying that, he's like, oh, this awesome hound dog, like was clueless that there was a coyote behind us.
I'm sure he just thought it was like somebody else's dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't get too excited with dogs. He's too busy solving crimes, sniffing the grass, you know? So I turn around and I see this coyote and he's just coming full steam down the back path, like nonchalant. No F's given.
Owns it.
Doesn't care who he sees. And it's still quite light out. Like this is around 4:30 p.m. yesterday. And it's like he knew exactly where he was going to. He's been in this area before. Goes into the backyard of the house that is right behind yours. They don't have a fence. They have like bushes instead of a fence that lines their yard. And so I watched him just go into this yard and lay down as if he was a dog that lived there and started just chewing on their crab apples, living his best life.
Well, he knew.
But I was really scared.
Great time of year to get some crab apples, I would imagine.
They genuinely do not care. They're not scared of humans. Like, he knew we were there.
Well, yeah, the ones that have been, you know, in urban areas are fairly like domesticated, which is scary because like if they get startled or something, or if you're walking like my daughter's 9 now. So like at about the age that I'll let her run over and get the mail with the dog or, you know, take short walks.
Well, the thing is the path I was walking on is a path that leads to an elementary school where I'm sure a lot of kids are walking home.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was still really bright out, that's what scares me. Like, if I was a child, I'm an adult. And I was scared. My heart was racing.
Well, I think like from the pictures that I saw of that one, it's a healthy coyote, which means
it's been eaten.
But that means you're safe. That like if it has a food source,
okay,
which it does if it's looking that healthy, they won't bother humans. It's when they start getting like sick and really skinny and become
desperate.
Desperate that they get scary.
I just posted the picture of the coyote on my story, the Lisa Evans. Go check it out. Like, this is, like Ryder said, a very healthy looking coyote. Oh my gosh. 10 out of 10 would not cuddle, though. I thought about it because I'm like, it's still a dog. Like, look, so cute. No.
Yeah. The one incident I had that was a little scary was I was tobogganing and there was a coyote like off in the distance. And every time my daughter would giggle or like yell, the coyote would like notice and take a couple more steps closer.
No.
Yeah, so it wasn't willing to come around me, but it knew it could take down my kid if it needed to. So just be careful, be aware. They are everywhere, it seems, in the city this year.
Play 107.
We're talking about animal encounters. My daughter was talking about it. It was Terry Fox run for her on Friday.
Yep.
So I picked her up from school afterwards.
Hey, did anyone else get shin splints in elementary? Like, when I hear Terry Fox run, and I'm like, my legs start to hurt. Like, I was not in shape.
Okay.
For the Terry Fox
No,
run.
That was never an issue for me. But
okay.
I did say, like, hey, I got a crazy story about a Terry Fox run. When I was younger, we used to go out to a lake just north of town that had some running trails around it.
Okay.
And that's where we would do it. And I, in grade six, my buddy pushed me into the bush, like, just jokingly, like, not too far, but I stepped on something and then I felt something on my leg and I looked down and I had stepped on a mouse nest, I guess.
No.
And I had a bunch.
What does a mouse nest look like?
I don't know, but I just had a bunch of little baby mice run up my leg. And I'm just so thankful that I had shorts on because I was able to, like, kick them off. But
ew.
If I would have had pants and they would have gone.
No.
Yeah.
I hate mice.
So I told my daughter that story, and like the look on her face was just blown away that I hadn't told her that before, that that happened to me when I was young. But yeah, it was disgusting. Like, they were like still like not really furry. They were still kind of in their pink mode.
Oh,
it was awful.
Yeah, so we want to ask you about your animal encounters because it's one of our favorite topics. I live for it. Like, as soon as I saw that coyote yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't wait to talk about animals tomorrow on the show. It's my favorite thing. And now I have a reason to talk about it. And the boss won't have to sit me down and say, Lisa, why are you talking about animals again for no reason?
Right.
Today I have a reason. Scuba Steve is so funny. He wrote in on our show saying, I was stalked by a cougar once at Brado's. Barely got out alive, but it was worth the pickled eggs. Okay.
Ridiculous.
That's so funny.
This is a call we got the last time we talked about this, and it blew us away. It involves David and getting attacked by a bear while fishing. Check this out.
I was fishing with a buddy. We were younger. Just had a beaver pond outside of Jasper there. And the bear came off the train tracks and split us down the middle, and we both went our separate ways, and the bear came after me.
And you said you were around 12 years old, and how did you protect yourself? Do you know to, like, punch him right in the nose?
Sounds like you might have read the story already.
No!
Well, it kind of. I mean, it was all pretty quick, but I ended up on a beaver lodge. I had nowhere else to go, so I ended up in the water, and then it jumped on top of me in the water, started chewing on my head, and had to get away, so I kept pulling its mouth off and kicking it and punching it. Yeah, eventually it gave up. We both swam to shore. I ended up kind of ripping its nostrils, and I think that's when it just decided it had enough.
How many stitches?
38 stitches in my head.
That's intense, eh?
Yeah, and when he was listening to our show live that day, like, we were saying, like, there's no way this story is real. We looked it up as soon as we wrote in his name in Jasper.
Mm.
Headline story.
Popped up, yeah. It was in the late 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Crazy.
What a wild story, though. Like, and what a tough 12-year-old. I don't know if me at 12...
Would you have given up? Would you have just laid in the water and said, like, just take me?
Like, I don't think I could have fought off a teddy bear when I was 12. Let alone an actual bear. So big ups to him. I mean, obviously a very traumatic event, scary memories, but he should be proud of himself too for kicking that bear's ass, right?
Yeah. Play 107. Facebook keeps pushing this page for me to follow. Like, every day I see a post from it. So I finally liked it. It's called Weird Facts. And it's really good. Like this one here. In 1990, the high school dropout rate in Sevierville, which is Dolly Parton's hometown, was over 30%.
Whoa.
So in 1991, the following year, she launched the Buddy Program and offered 7th and 8th graders $500 if they graduated. The dropout rate for those classes dropped to just 6% and has stayed that on average to this day.
Wow, impressive.
She is so cool.
She is, yeah. She has Michael Scott vibes, but she delivers. Like, remember when he promised all the university scholarships and then it wanted to turn into laptops that he realized he couldn't afford that and it was just laptop chargers?
Yeah.
I believe. Tell me something good. So it's nice that she follows through. My story is about, I guess a pretty big update when it comes to cow farts. Top beef supplier has approved a methane-busting feed additive that reduces their gas by 55%. So when we're looking at global warming concerns, one of the biggest issues is cattle.
Cow farts.
So this is pretty awesome. 55% reduction in the gas.
You need that.
Thank you. Tell me something good. So we got a text a little earlier from Jeff. We decided to give him a call just because it was pretty funny. What's up, man?
You guys were playing Ahead by a Century earlier today, and it reminded me, like, I was a teenager, and I literally got stung by a wasp right as, how does the line go?
That's when the hornet stung me.
Yeah, and then I had a feverish dream.
Did you have a feverish dream?
Yeah, no, it like literally happened, and it hurt like a bee real bad, and then I just started laughing because it's ridiculous.
It hurt like a bee real bad.
Yeah, that's funny too. Yeah. He didn't even realize that was a pun.
Lorelai, who is a great fitness trainer, she's worked out with me in the past, a good friend of ours as well, texted in.
Yeah, she said, we got discharged from the hospital with our son Thomas on a Friday. The first song on the radio when we got in the car was Friday, I'm in Love.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. That is so wholesome.
It's a real good one. 780-784-7107. This one's not as good. Eric says, it was my 23rd birthday and we were going out to the bar and this song came on. Said everybody laughed really hard at my expense. Yeah. Thank you for the text.
That's good.
You've got one for us as well.
So when my son was about 2 years old, we were about to get in the car and he was freaking out about I don't even know what. And I get in the car, get him in, I turn on the radio, and instantly it's Avril Lavigne, and she's going, chill out, what you yelling for? And all I could do was laugh. Just, he didn't get it at the time.
But. No, you did. That's awesome.
That
Thank you for sharing.
So funny.
Yeah, have a good one.
So we're talking about just times when, like, real life and the lyrics of a song collided.
When I was in Thailand, I got a message from an ex-boyfriend on Facebook, and like you only get Wi-Fi in certain areas, right? When you're traveling with the free and easy group.
Sure.
So we were just about to get on a bus for 4 hours without Wi-Fi. And he wrote me saying like, oh, I miss you. I'd love to see you at some point. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I would love to see you too. And then he's like, but we can't because I have a new girlfriend. Like that's literally what he wrote me. Like completely got me all excited and then completely broke me again.
Do you think he was trying to like just see if he still
maybe
shot his shot with you if he had a chance?
It was terrible. And then we had to get on the bus and I lost Wi-Fi. So I'm so distraught. We get on the bus and the only two songs that I have on my phone at the time was one of his songs because he was an artist. And I'm at a payphone by Maroon 5. Which is literally about trying to reach out to an ex, like, and only having enough money to make one phone call. And I just sobbed. I sobbed on this bus for 4 hours, and everyone on my trip was like, you okay? I was like, no.
So what'd you listen to more, do you think? His song or Maroon 5?
His song, as sad as that sounds.
When is a time that a song came on and it just, like, magically was exactly what was happening in your life? Just a really odd coincidence. The text line is with stories. This one says, driving with a car full of friends, some idiot changed lanes abruptly, nearly causing a collision. That's when this song started playing on the radio. And it's Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yes.
And there were so many parts of the song that really made sense to what we were dealing with at the time.
I love whenever we find out about like a train blocking traffic, especially the 50th Street train, we'll get texts and I'm like, rider, play train. Nobody has to know.
Or I play chicken with the train, the Cowboy Troy song.
No. Do not do that though.
You had a special moment, your first time, while Sir Mix-a-Lot was on?
Yep, sure did. Over 20 years later, I still remember it.
Yeah, so every time that song comes on, Is it just
every time it comes on, I'm like, oh my God. Like any other song could have played. And no, it had to be Baby Got Back.
Okay, so what, 2 weeks ago, almost to the day, you loaded up on Lunchables. They were cheap. The first week of school, all the parents were trying really hard. And I said, just wait 2 weeks. There'll be a shortage. Just kind of joking.
Turns out there is a shortage of Lunchables.
No!
No! No! No! No!
No! No! No! No! No! No! No! No!
No!
No!
What?
No.
No! We're all thinking it. I don't even have kids and I'm thinking it because I love Lunchables. They're so convenient.
Yeah, I like how the crackers, the cheese, and the meat all fit together so well. Like every other charcuterie board, I'm like, oh, I guess I got to fold this meat. Or, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, it just feels good when you're like, I don't think I'm OCD, but there's something that is really fulfilling on an OCD sense when I'm eating Lunchables.
But we can all agree that the hot dog one is disgusting,
and
right?
The pizza one. What?
It's all about the ham or turkey.
Or the bologna, that's fine with me. I'll take that.
But yeah, parents were trying too hard for the first couple weeks to impress teachers with fancy lunches and stuff and make their kids feel good. Now it's like, all right, fend for yourself. Here's a Lunchable. We can't even do that.
Yeah.
They're nowhere to be seen. So if you find them, you got to let us know so other parents can go and get some.
Kraft made the announcement that Lunchables is seeing double-digit growth for the first time in 5 years. So they are getting just more and more popular, and they can't keep up with the demand, which obviously is going to lead to a price hike, too, which sucks, because that's part of the appeal, too. It's like, what? What other snack are you getting for $4 that's fulfilling these days?
Right.
A full bag of chips, I guess.
I mean, 4 bags of Itchy Ban.
That's true, too. Okay, there are some good examples. I need to bring something up. I've seen a lot of places online as businesses do their best to roll with the punches that the government has mandated, right?
Yep.
One of them being these vaccine passports, but not passports. Don't call them passports,
exemption,
but they're passports.
Cards. They're exemption cards. They're PDF, very easy to Photoshop cards.
Yeah, that you had one job, government.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I am seeing posts on social where, like I said, restaurants, pubs are trying their best to do what they can. So they're still offering, like, dining, most of them on the patio and for takeout for the unvaxxed or those that don't want to.
Hesitant.
Sure, don't want to show their cards, maybe, whatever. And then in-store dining for those that do have proof. And like most of these business owners, I would assume, probably don't agree with exactly how this played out, but they're doing their best. And they're trying to facilitate, they're trying to stay open. And people teeing off on them like, I've been a loyal customer. Well, they didn't make the rules. They're just trying to keep the doors open. They're trying to keep their staff employed. What do you expect them to do in this situation? Close the doors and pout? I don't know. It just, I understand how you'd be upset if your favorite place you weren't allowed in. That would feel unfair. But I think that's something you take up with your elected officials.
I actually saw a Facebook status today that was really good. F and Rob Seafood.
Yeah.
He had a great, he owns a business in St. Albert. He said,
he's a great dude.
Can we all just be friends? Can we be a good neighbor again? Can we support our neighbors and local businesses who have been put through the ringer the last 19 months? When this all started, so many people were making the conscious effort to support local. During the restaurant shutdown, so many people supported them through the makeshift takeout programs. Now I see so many of my friends and their restaurants getting ripped on social media for making a decision to keep operating, to keep their dreams alive and their passions, to keep their lights on and their staff working.
Exactly.
And he said, many of my friends own these restaurants that have struggled with a long time by pivoting all the time. Many of them strongly dislike the word pivot now because they just want to do what they love. They're good people. So if you have a chance, go and favorite a restaurant's page on Facebook, leave a positive comment, a 5-star Google review, like a picture of them, share it on your story. Just let them know that you still love them. I just think that's such a great angle to have and a positive way to look at this.
And he makes a really good point that there was an incredible push. One of the bright lights that came from all this was the movement to support local, and especially the restaurant industry saw that. As soon as people could, they were buying gift cards. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, ordering takeout. That hasn't changed. We still need to support our local business owners. So let's do that on social. Like you said, go like a page of a place you like. Kyle on the phone, who's going to be our judge for the clean joke off. We have a foursome for the Edmonton Garrison Memorial Golf Course with carts. Up for grabs. All you got to do is tell us who wins each round, a potential of 3 rounds, Kyle.
Okay.
Kyle, what is a golfer's worst nightmare?
Couldn't tell you.
The bogeyman.
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad. Why did the golfer take 2 pairs of pants to the course?
I don't know why.
He thought he might get a hole in one.
I'm going to go with Ryder on that one.
Okay, round 2. What do Ryder and a dull knife have in common?
What?
They both have a bad slice.
Hey.
I dig that one.
Kyle, did you know that the worst injury I ever had was on a golf course?
No, what was it?
I broke my ankle after falling off the ball washer.
I like that one, but I'm going to give it to Lisa because I want to hear her third one.
Yes. Okay, third and last round. Kyle,
yeah.
I just wanted to let you know that a lion would never play golf, but a tiger would.
Okay, my last one's a little lengthier. A man was at the clubhouse bar after a round. One of his friends said, "Have you seen that new golf pro? I heard he's had his way with all the women that golf on ladies' night except for one." This guy's super rattled. He goes home, confronts his wife, who regularly golfs on ladies' night, and says, "Honey, I heard the new golf pro has been with every woman at ladies' night except for one. You know anything about that?" And she replied with, "I bet it's Becky. She's super lame."
That's pretty good. A little long-winded, though. I got to go with Lisa on this.
Yes! Oh! I love it! I love winning!
I love winning, too. It didn't go that way at Edmonton Garrison Memorial. We golfed there this weekend. We got all the hosts together here in the station, went out, and Jody, who is the pro out there, ended up teaming up with our boss to take on Paul, who's in after 10 o'clock, and I. Paul joins us now. What do you think we can blame the loss on out at the course?
The wind. It's definitely the wind.
Oh, yes, of course.
So the wind. Every time I got up to the ball, the wind got up there, and I missed the shot, or the ball went the wrong way. It was definitely the wind.
That's funny, because I wasn't going to blame the wind.
Oh, well, I've been blaming the wind for my entire game that day. Even if it wasn't windy, there was still wind somewhere making this difficult.
Yeah. No, I was definitely going to blame you.
Ryder and Lisa.
Brought to you by Southtown Hyundai.
Play 107.